I say not to make mention of you my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the wisdom of the Spirit and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us what we believe according to the working of His mighty power. Can we do verse 20 and 21 together? Which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly place, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Amen. So we said, Paul says he's praying for the church. He's praying for the church, and he says, my prayer is simple, is that you will see as you ought to see. My prayer is that God will open your eyes. What a prayer. What a prayer. Imagine someone comes to you on your birthday and say, I want to pray for you. And you're expecting, oh, God will buy you a private jet and all of that. He says, I'm praying that God opens your eyes. So what a prayer. I've said, if you want to know how much you're maturing as a believer, look at the content of your prayer. The content of your prayer is going to say a lot about who you truly are. If your prayer every time is all about needs and wants and this and that, I want this, I want that, then maybe something is wrong. God did not intend that you live that way. There are things to see, amen? There are things to hear. There are things to partake of in the kingdom of God. You can't just be, what do I call it? Every day, God, give me this, give me that. So he says, one of the things he wants them to see is Jesus is set at the right hand of God. And we began to investigate the right hand of God. We said, it is not geographical, right? We have looked at that. We said, it is the hand of His power, right? We have looked at that. We said, the right hand is a codified line. Remember, by now you guys should be able to preach this right hand. Yeah? We said, it's a codified language for God's help, God's deliverance, God's salvation, God's mightiness, God's rescue, God's, you have the words. Amen? So it's a codified language. Can we also call it heaven on earth? Eh? Where God intervenes in man's affairs, you call that the right hand of God. We saw that in Egypt. And it's too important that the believer is abreast of God's power. That is, you are always in awe of God's power. It must always happen. You can't do ministry, you can't serve God without God's power. Quite a number of people, what they want in their lives is, I'm just a Christian. I should just wake up every day, pray to God and go and sleep. No, that's not how to live life. I'm always in awe of God's power. Amen. I want it every time. I want it every time. You don't talk like someone that wants it. I want it every time. That's how to talk. That's more like it. So we said, he's the right hand of God. And to progress, we said, that right hand of God is expressed on the earth through His church. We looked at that yesterday. I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's power. Amen. That's what? That's power. Whatsoever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's power. It takes something to talk like that. It takes something to talk like that and say, whatsoever you bind on earth, you bind in heaven. Meaning that what we call God's intervention starts here. Sometimes you're waiting on God and God is waiting on you. You think, oh, I'm waiting on God to do this and do that and do this for me. But God is saying, it's whatsoever you choose to bind. It's whatsoever you choose to lose. Hallelujah. We saw that in Mark 16, in verse 19. Come there. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. He sat at the right hand of God. How did we know he sat at the right hand of God? Verse 20. When they went forth and preached, the Lord was walking with them, confirming the word with signs. So, all the signs they saw, the sick getting healed, the lame walking, deaf ears unstopped, blind eyes seeing, he says that's the right hand of God. But God did not make the move, man made the move. And so Jesus starts telling Peter, Matthew 16. Like I said, pay attention. In verse 19, he said, I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Don't forget heaven. Heaven is God's throne. Heaven is God's reign. Heaven is God's sphere of influence. Now you are guessing it. Everywhere you see what God can do, that is heaven. If it's on earth, then that's heaven on earth. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? So you see a lame man walking, that's heaven on earth. That's God's power working in man's affair. Can we also call that the right hand of God? Eh? Alright, good. Good, you're right. So in Matthew 16, Jesus is telling his own disciples, I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So, of course, you're not seeing heaven as a door that he wants to open. No. That the God keys there is authority. I'll give you the authority of the kingdom of heaven. Don't forget, that kingdom is a ring. It's not a town. It's not a village. And I say, I'll give to you the keys. You now start, what do you call it? Roaring. I saw someone say, you roar when you wake up in the morning. Believer, you roar. Nah. But he said, I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Was talking about authority to bring God's power on the earth. That's why I said, whatever you now bind on it will be bound in heaven. You believe that? Oh, after camp meeting, we are going to see God's power. You are due. Amen. You are due for it. We are going to see tangible power. Oh, we believe God for it. Oh, we believe God for it. Oh, we believe God for it. You know, there are believers who don't, they think they cannot do it. When a layman walking said, me, I just want to do doctrine. You can't just be doing doctrine all your life. What's that? I'm very big on doctrine. Amen. I am very, very big on doctrine, but I'm big on power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not one or the other. It's not one or the other. It's one and the other. You must have it. God's kingdom is done in power. It's done in power. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, let's look at the background. Let's look at the background of this story. Because the background is going to set the tone for our day. In verse 13, excuse me. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, don't forget, he said something yesterday that is very important. I said, when you're reading conversations like that, you must observe where they are. You know, that saved us yesterday, to know that they just left the temple, and they were talking about the temple, Abby. And it was not about them expecting him to come in the sky. They didn't even know he would go anywhere. You know, sometimes if you just are patient to read what the Bible is saying, you start marking out some places. Because the moment you know that the audience were not expecting him to die or to even resurrect, not to talk of resurrect and leave in quotes, then why do you think they are expecting a special appearance? They were not expecting it. So when they say, what is the sign of your coming? You have to now go back to where they were. They were at the temple. Alright, so where are they now? It's obvious there now. Caesarea Philippi. Someone's looking for temple. See, I'll be temple. I'm also doing one temple. And I can't. Alright, so they were at the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And I'm going to give you the background of that. It's so interesting. And he asked, who do men say that I am the Son of Man am? And they said, some said you're John the Baptist. Now, those ones, I don't understand them. Because you saw John. Like, what day did they behead John, no? You know, John, it was just in chapter 11 that John was in prison. This is chapter 16. Of course, that can be like an entire year. Hallelujah. I showed someone some years ago, we were discussing. So I told him, I said, do you know that the difference was Isaiah? I said, do you know that the difference between this verse, I think it was verse 42 or something, and verse 43, I said, it's about 10 years. He said, eh? I said, please. So I now started showing him what happened between when that statement was made and when necessary. That's why you must not be reading it as though the writer just said, no. Hallelujah. Alright. So some said you're John the Baptist. I don't know. Maybe they thought they were twins. Idiot twins. Some said Elijah. And others said Jeremiah. Or some of the other prophets. Why would they say Jeremiah? Was Jesus crying? Jeremiah was a lamenting prophet. He literally wrote Lamentations. There was someone to write Lamentations. And he called the book Lamentations. You are reading his cry. His diary. Verse 15. Then he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? Now, don't forget, these are the background of him saying, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of God. Let's put that, I'll give to you the right hand. Upon the resurrection, I'll give to you the right hand. I'll build my church, and the church will be at my right hand. We can summarize everything like that, right? I'll build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail, and I will give you my right hand. Okay? So, say, but who do you say that I am? Then Simon Peter answered and said, you are Christ, the Son of God. Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Barjuna, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, he says, thou art the Son of God. You are the Son of God. Now, or Son of the Living God. Now, so you might think that, oh, what Peter said was that special. But Peter is not the first person that will call Jesus the Son of God. Okay, he said Living God. He's not the first person. So, it wasn't about what he said, really. And we're going to look at that. Having camp meeting. Huh? Yes, look at in John 1. So put your marker in Mark 16. Matthew 16, because that's our text. We're coming back there. In John chapter 1, in verse 45, Philip finds Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, where do you know me from? And Jesus said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Can we verse 39 together? Nathanael said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. The King of Israel is an anointed person. Don't forget, Saul, David were figures to show God's anointed, the Messiah. Alright? He said, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. So, is Peter the first person that will call Jesus the Son of God? Nathanael already did. He said, you are the Son of God, the anointed one. Okay? So, what was so special about what Peter said? Don't forget, in John 4, the woman at the well, her name is woman, her surname is at the well. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. Name woman, surname with the issue of blood. But you don't like nicknames. Alright, it's fine. In John 4, that woman who was at the well also told people, he said, I have found the Messiah. I have found the Messiah whom the prophets wrote about. Because in verse 25, the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he's coming, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I am the one. And upon these disciples came and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, why are you talking to her? Sometimes you can ask your pastor some questions. Verse 28, the woman left her water pot and went to the city and said, come and see a man who told me everything. Is he not the Christ? Amen? Amen? Is he not the Christ? By saying Christ, that is the anointed one. So, Peter is not the first person that will say, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Nathanael said, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel, you are the anointed one. So what's special about what Peter said? What's really special about it? Let's pay attention to details. I have told you before that geography is a very vital part of theology. What did I say? Someone said, geography is the one we did in school. No. I mean, location. Always observe where something is said or where something is done. Is it making sense? For example, John baptized at Jordan, not because Jordan was fine. Mm-mm. He did that because Jordan was the last river, as it were, that Israel crossed before the promised land. And so, if he is going to be the forerunner for Christ, he's telling them, the promise is coming, come to Jordan. It is subtle, but it is intentional. It is subtle, but it's intentional. For example, Jesus started his ministry at Galilee. In Luke 4, he started his ministry at Galilee. And guess where? So it's not a shock when he rose from the dead and he told his disciples, meet me at Galilee. What is Galilee? Isaiah already spoke about Galilee. He calls it the Galilee of all nations. Galilee is a place where you don't find just the Jews. You find both the Jews and the Gentiles. So it's a place where you have all nations. So if Jesus is going to reach the world, he's not going to stay in Jerusalem where you have just the Jews. Mm-mm. He's going to be in Galilee. He started it in Galilee. He gave them the Great Commission in Galilee. If he gave them in Jerusalem, it would have been weird. If he gave them in Judea, it would have been weird. Because he's telling them in Judea and he says, it's going to all the world. We are in Judea, let's just stay there. Nah. So he gave them in the Galilee of all nations. Geography is important. Moses would now use a garden. He calls it the Garden of Eden. There's no garden like that. But because of that geography, you will now see Ezekiel use it in the Garden of God. You see Jesus use it. Today you will be with me in paradise. That word paradise, pardes in the Greek, P-A-R-D-E-S, is actually, you will be with me in the garden. So Jesus is telling that thief on the cross, we are going back to Genesis. So, geography is so vital in preaching. Or, in context of this teaching, in understanding what is being said. Are you with me? Imagine what we looked at yesterday, the temple. That's geography. The moment, imagine if they didn't mention that they just left the temple. You know, that's a big scare because you're looking at it. At one point, you want to believe it. You want to believe that, okay, there'll be rumors of war, nations fighting against nations, false prophets will arise, and this will happen, and that will happen, and that will happen, and that will happen, then shall the end come. But it says this generation will not pass. You are looking at it. As the generation passed, has it not passed? How do you get what I'm saying? Come on. You understand what I'm saying? So, what built the cat, or built the cat rather, pardon me, is the geography. He left the temple, they showed him the temple, then he says, not one stone will be standing on another by the time war comes. By the time war comes. He said, what sign? He said, number one, you will see all of these things, but much more, it's a sign of the coming of the Son of Man. We said the coming of the Son of Man will be where? In his resurrection. Some people are preaching a coming that will come, and they're not preaching the one that he has come. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. The one he came, preach it. Hallelujah. If you believe that one, and you walk in the reality of it, you're not going to be scared. A lot of people are just scared. Jesus come today. What will happen? Nothing will happen. Your body will be redeemed. Amen. And he's not coming. It's a revelation. Christ in us. That is the hope. Hope of glory. He was talking about the redemption of our body. Is it making sense? Alright. He's in us. He's in me. Until it's done. Until it dawns on you. Eh? There are things you never do. There are realities you know working. Because if it's in your head that there is a Jesus outside you, then there's a problem. Are we going to see him? Yes. Is he here? Yes. Will there be people will not disappear? Where? It's not in the Bible. And what we did yesterday was just on the surface. Amen? That was very on the surface. One day we'll sit down well with it. Hallelujah. It's not going to be in camp meeting. Going to be in the Thursday service. Hallelujah. Where I know that is church members. Your real church members. So that you're not going to quote me on Facebook. If you go to your Facebook, I'm not there. If you like, what is it? Drag. They drag me like a generator. You will not see anybody to drag.
Hallelujah. All right, so we said geography is important. Are you there? Are you there? All right. So in Luke 24, he told them, tarry at Jerusalem. See, so you are endued with power from on high. Tarry at Jerusalem. So there are things, there are places that makes the doctrine actually what it is. Stay at Jerusalem. So geography is a vital part of what? Theology. Thank you. So where are they? He says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, they are at a place called Caesarea Philippi. Now, don't believe anything I tell you. Go and check after this teaching. Is that clear? I've told you before, nobody should just tell you something. The duty of a Bible student is when you're taught, of course you believe, but you make diligent searches. Is that clear? Is this right? Did I spell this one right? Is it making sense? Alright, so if Caesarea Philippi, and I was looking at Caesarea Philippi. So, because when I see locations like that, I know it's important. They don't make mistakes in what they are writing. That's the beautiful thing about writing in hindsight. Everything has happened. So, when the writer is writing, all of his details, especially four gospels, Jesus had risen from the dead. So, by the time they are writing now, they are intentional about every detail they are writing. Is it making sense? It's like you writing about your secondary school. You know, when you're writing about your secondary school, if you're not in secondary school, some people are, amen. I'm in secondary school, right, for example. You know, if you're not in secondary school and you ask me to write about secondary school, on Monday I was looking at one video on Instagram and it was about boarding house. And it was taking me back many years. You know, out somewhere, you hide your provision. You know, all this is in there. You now hide in your car, in your dad's car, and beat it so that your mates will not see you. And later you now say, they did not come for me. If you went to now, you understand what I'm saying? You say, you that they came for, you said, they did not come for me, they did not come for me, give me food. You know, you can't beg. You know, my mom used to bring three different kinds of food on visiting day because just one is once in a term. You know, is it once in a term or once in a month? In a term, it can't be a month. A month will be too nice. Yeah? And she will bring yam and egg, she will bring rice, and one other, I forgot. I know it's always three meals. Oga, I will eat three. You can't take it to hostel. You know what I mean, guys. If you went right now, you can't take it to hostel. If you take it to hostel, you will not eat it. One senior will collect it from you. So, I will eat all the food at night. The toilet is in trouble. Every visit in there, there's always constipation in the hostel. What took me there? Alright, so if I'm writing about it, I will be specific about the details. I will miss out on some things. But if I don't miss out on something, it means it's important. Is it making sense? Why? Because I'm writing in hindsight. Is it making sense? So when you're writing in hindsight, it's always important to know that the person means what he's saying. So it says, Jesus, Matthew 16:15, they came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I said, Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. I told you, what is special about what Peter said was not what he said. It was where he said it. You are the Son of the living God. And he's saying that at Caesarea Philippi, where idolatry is at its peak. Caesarea Philippi is where you can call the headquarters of idolatry. Amen? You know, when you're looking for somewhere where idolatry is, you know, for example, if you are into tech, they will tell you San Francisco, right? Come on. Okay, maybe some of you don't know. San Francisco is fintech. All the fintechs in the world are in San Francisco. If you are into technological products, all these VRs and everything, and they tell you, where are you going to get the machines from? Germany again. Germany will be cars and some other thing. China. China is the one who is the monopoly of it. Technology. So there are places that are associated with things. What is Nigeria associated with? Music. Okay. You are right. I think if you say music, you are right. So there are places associated with things. So if you are looking for somewhere in the world where you can associate idolatry with, I will argue that there is no better place than Caesarea Philippi.
Amen. In fact, where they were, where Jesus was making that statement, was called the gates of hell. So it makes sense when he said the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. It's called the gate of hell because they believe that in that place there is the power to raise the dead, to bring something to life. That's what they believe in that Caesarea Philippi. Alright, so Caesarea Philippi is where people have come, they brought many deities together. You find Baal, you find every kind of idol. So Jesus deliberately goes to a place where another being is being worshipped. Then he asks, who do they see that I am? So it's not just a question, it's a confrontation. Is it making sense now? It's not just a mere question. Who do men say that I am? Nah. He could have asked that in Bethlehem. Come on. He could have asked that in Jerusalem. No. He went to Caesarea Philippi, where idolatry is massive. Then he says, I know they have this God, I know they have this God, I know that. Who do men say that I am? Then the disciples said, some said you are John. Some said you are Jeremiah. Some said, no, they are creating idols for themselves. Then Jesus said, who do you say that I am? You know, this is where the robber eats the road. You know, it's easy to say, I believe in you, Jesus. Ah, you are my God. You are the Lord, that is your name. Ah, Jesus, you are my God. I will trust no other person. But now we have gotten to where the place is. Amen. This is not in the bedroom. We have gotten to where idols are massive. We have gotten to where people are worshipping what is not. Who do you say I am now? Peter stood up. He said, I can see other gods, but you are the Son of the living God. It's not about what he said. It's about where he said it. Who do you say that I am? Peter said, you, not they, are the Christ. You, not Baal, are the Christ. And he said it at the very gates of hell. So he shows you, listen very well, that the gospel is confrontational. What did I say? You must confront it by the right hand. The gospel is confrontational. It's not a suggestion. It's a warfare. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. Now as we step out of camp meeting, I believe and I receive that you are going to go with boldness into where the devil has taken. And you are going to say, Christ is Lord. Jesus is Lord. You're going to confront that power by the Spirit of God. It's not going to sound like advice. So, there is no way the gospel can be preached without the right hand. It has to be done with power. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are going to step out in the name of Jesus. And we are going to say, Jehovah owns this place. We are going to confront the powers of darkness in the name of Jesus. We are going to say, this soul does not belong to the devil. It's confrontational. It's confrontational. It's not rice and beans. It's not Indomie. It's serious business. It's serious business. Who do men say that I am? And he went to where in the thick of it. I love Jesus. He's a daring man. In the thick of it. Who do men say that I am? And people are listening. Who do you say that I am? I love Peter. He has the energy. He gets it. He says, you, not them, are Christ. You, not them, are Christ. You, not Baal, are Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are more confrontational. Amen. We are more confrontational. We are more confrontational. You must learn it. It's part of the gospel. You can't preach without confronting. You confront. You confront. You confront. I remember some years ago, something happened. I think I've shared it with the leaders before. I've not shared it in church. So there was this meeting we had, and it's at Ibadan. So there was this woman we had been begging, to always release the child, to follow us to preach. We used to go and preach at Foko, then Okebola. Foko is not far from Okebola, really, from Okeado. Then, but we had a brother like that at Deeper Life, and the headquarters was at Gbagi.
Baggy.
Yeah.
So we used to go there. So, what's his name, bro? Told me. So one day wanted to have a meeting. I think I shared it with you before. I wanted to have a meeting. So the woman, and every time I have a meeting, before when we have a meeting with Sammy, she would come. She would make us and everything. She would scatter everywhere. How that? Be my child. Be my child. I don't want my child to be here. No, my child will not be kindergarten, will not walk with you ever since kindergarten. He's just always praying. Would you rather have your child pray or you rather have your child steal? So every time, I say, mommy. You know, the way Igbo people say, mommy. And he's talking to his wife, mommy. I can't call my wife mommy. You know. And that day, I just knew that the devil wanted to mess up with that meeting. So as she came, I went out and I confronted her. I said, you know what? This child will serve Jesus, whether you like it or not. And she started looking at me. Now, you know, I'm quiet. Most of you know I'm quiet. Very, I don't talk. I only talk when I preach. Amen. I said, and she was looking at me. I said, see, there is nothing you or every demon that is trying to walk through you can do about it. He said, oh, you can cry. I said, cry. Just now you were calling for my head. Just now you were saying, where's that useless boy? And now you're crying. Everybody's now trying to say, I should console her. I said, she should apologize to the boy and say, I will allow you to serve Jesus. Amen. The boy was doing absolutely fine. He was a good boy at home. All he wanted was just to preach. Is that too much to ask? You must be confrontational. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you bend too much, you break. If every time you keep bending, you break. I love the way Bishop Oyedepo said some years ago. He said, if you fear opposition, you will lose your position. When I heard it, I said, thank you, sir. If every time you fear persecution, you fear opposition, oh, I don't want people to oppose me. I don't want to be doing my own thing. Nobody should know what I'm doing. Nah, you're going to lose where you're standing. I am bold. I'm bold. I'm bold. I said to you, Peter, on this rock, the rock is not Peter. The rock is not what Peter said. The rock is where they were. Jesus is saying, see, right where we are is where the church will start from. Right where the devil is. At the headquarter of the devil, where he thinks he has the best monopoly, where he thinks he has built his biggest enterprise, he said, right there, we will build the church. That's the gospel. The gospel confronts. We are the right hand. We are the right hand. We are the right hand. The gospel confronts. On this rock, that center of idolatry, I will build my church. Imagine, at that place where everybody's against you. You say, in fact, this is where I want to start with this ceremony. Amen. Amen. This place, that's where we'll serve it. You must be bold. You must be bold. Jesus did not die and rise from the dead and gave to you the keys so that you can cower and run behind the curtains. He didn't do that. He didn't do that so that he can be a Christian on campus that nobody knows. You know, some people just want to be a Christian. I'm a Christian, but I don't want people to know me like that. Nah. Ask them when I was on campus. You will know. I'll tell you straight. I remember in 500 level, my roommate, as he stepped into the room, it was from another department. I told him, first thing, I said, my name is Yemi and I'm a Christian. He was looking at me. Yeah, hope it's not all these SCSU people, so that there are some things that we do. I said, it's exactly the SU, probably more than that. He said, ah. So I heard him talk to his guy outside. He said, come on. Now all these spirits, they bring for me. So I talked to him, I said, I can hear you. Remember, we are going to stay in this room together. And he used to smoke and all of that. Well, the son of an allergy. Remember, you know him. One day, you're just coming to the room. I said, if you step in with that thing, is that you are saved or you are just neutral? You can't be this bad and be with me. He said, in my where else would I now do it? I said, not here.
If you bend too much, you will break. Are you listening to me? On this rock. Yeah. Where you say we will not use. Where you say nobody will preach anything here. He said, this is where we will start our church from. This is where we will gather to go. This is where we come back for reports. Hallelujah. The power of God is daring. On this rock, excuse me, on this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell. Don't forget where they are. That's the gate of hell. He's saying, no matter the idol. You need to recognize that Paul said there's something called the prince of the power of the air. He says the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Sometimes what you are seeing is not just mere opposition. It's the devil at work. It might look neutral on the surface. Oh, he said, Pastor, I tell you, they are nice people. It's just that one church has offended them before. It is not about that. That is the devil standing his ground. And you are trying to bend. You need bend. That's the devil standing his ground and saying, I will have this place. I will have this campus. There's nothing anybody can do about it. And we are to say, on this rock, I will build my church. See, in Genesis 1, in verse 1 it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness covered the face of the deep. Then the next thing we hear is what? And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the water. See, let me tell you. Where there is chaos, that's where the Spirit of God works better. Are you listening to me? In that dark place, where there is that darkness, the Spirit of God shines brighter. The light of God shines brighter in darkness. Amen. God loves chaos. It is meat for the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? Eh? Darkness is what? It's meat. Eh? Balanced diet for the Holy Ghost. Disorderliness. Chaos is meat for the Holy Ghost. You cannot run and hide. You must not. In the midst of chaos, we are not going to complain. You are going to go into that place and you say, the light of God is shining on this rock. I'll build my church. The power of God confronts. The power of God dares. You have thought, the first place where the Spirit of God will go to is a church. Nah, it's darkness. It's that dark place. Go. Where there is darkness and chaos and disorderliness. And tohu bohu, that is, the earth was formless. It was without anything. God's Spirit said, I like that. Hallelujah. How can you run? One small challenge, you are running. Say, let's shift our venue. How many venues do you want to shift? Because the devil wants everybody. And God wants everybody. How long will you shift the venue for? How long will you change your meeting times for? I was speaking to someone, started ministry sometime last year. So, he chatted me up on Facebook. And he was saying something about, okay. The bottom line is, said people already have churches. Very funny. People already have churches. And that, so what he wants to do is that he will now hold his own in the afternoon. So that when people are done going to their church in the morning, you are using strategy. So Diki, you are using a bomb. And it's not the wisdom of the Spirit. Amen. And so when people go to their church in the morning, in the afternoon, that a lot of people now come to his own place. They are from there. You will now start teaching them the word. I say, you're a fraud. There are no unbelievers again. Say, Pastor, it's hard to build like that. So you rather steal people's members. I said, I don't think you should pastor yet. Amen. I don't think you're ready for it. God's Spirit shines brighter in the dark. Speaking tongues, dear Joe. Let's confront it. Let us see.
Rabado shede beregrebosa. Amen. So the Spirit of God is moving. I see you move. Oh, I see you move. Oh, I see him move. I see him move all over Lagos. I see him move in Ibadan. Come on, mention that place where you are preaching. I see him move in Abuja. I see him move in Nigeria. In West Africa. In Africa. I see him move. I see him move. I see him move. I don't bend. I don't bend. I confront. I dare. I go. I move. And the others is multiplied. Oh, I see him move. I see him move. I see him move. I see him shine brighter. On this rock. It's not about what he said. It's about where he was saying it. The gospel primarily is confrontational. Upon this rock, I will start from here. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, that's a bad translation. It is not will not prevail. It is will not be able to contain it. Because you use prevail as though it's the gate of hell that is attacking. You know, when you attack, that's when you say, you will not prevail over me. No, the gate of hell is not the one prevailing. Nah. It is the gospel that is prevailing. The gate of hell is will not be able to contain it. You know that Eniduro? What did it take over? Where the devil thought he had. Oh, I have the monopoly of darkness here. Nobody gets saved here. These are spiritual realities. Have you observed that there are places that over years and years, nothing thrives there. No church thrives there. I know what I'm talking about. They will tell you, some churches have come here, they've gone. I know what I'm talking about. They tell you, they've come and they've gone. Jesus said, I'll start there. I'll start there. They've come, okay, they've gone. You will not contain it. It's bigger than you. I'll start here. They will not be able to withstand it. The gate of the hell is the one parking bus. Like Chelsea. You know Chelsea, you just players. You see their number 9 inside their own box. He's defending. He's not caught now. The gates of hell cannot withstand the church. Can't withstand it. Upon this rock, that very dark place, he says, I give to you the keys. How can you be a preacher of the gospel and you are not binding and losing? What are you now doing? What are you now doing? You are busy arguing. Salvation eternal. Salvation eternal. Salvation not eternal. I don't have time to argue that one. That's a useless argument. Amen. Once you are saved, I don't bother to start arguing that one with you. The worst thing that will happen is that you find out on the last day. You say, hey, it has been eternal since and I did not know. Now you know. Amen. Stop arguing with the saved. Reach the unsaved. Amen. Yeah. Oh, I have been saved. I've been saved forever. I didn't know. And I'm just finding out. You find out. Stop arguing that tongues is human language. Magic is giving you a job. He's giving you something to keep you busy. And darkness is getting thicker. No longer. Oh, no longer. All over is solo. No longer. Amen. Should we be pastors? They should not be pastors. They should be usher. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. I give you the keys. I give you the keys. Who owns the key? He owns the key. Isaiah 22:22. He said, you are the one that opens and no man can shut. Isaiah 22. Are you here this morning? Verse 22. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder so that he shall open and no one shall shut. And he shall shut and no one shall open. You see it in Revelation 3. Apologies for my voice. I'm really losing it. Revelation 3. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, I write these things. He that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, that opens and no man shuts and no man opens. That is the way you approach the gospel. When I shut this, no man can open it. Amen. When I say is working, then it's working. When I say it's growing, then it's growing. Oh, there are new dimensions to walking. Amen. When I say go, it goes. When I say leave, it leaves. Oh, we are on the right hand. Oh, we are on the right hand. He said, I give to you the keys. How does it work? When you shut, nobody opens. If you say the disciples are multiplied, then they are multiplied. If you say laborers are increasing, then they are increasing. Oh, if you say the word of God is working here, then it's working. If you say healing is happening, then it's happening. Oh, Peki Sakelidata. Ladies, sir. He said, when he shuts, no man opens. When he opens, no man can shut. Jesus said, I've given you the keys. The church is on the right hand. He said, I've given you the keys. There you go. Beginning at the very gate of hell. So Jesus' death was a confrontation. His resurrection, a confrontation. It's a dare. It's a dare. You know what the way David puts it in Psalm 18, verse 26? He said, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. It's a war sound. Amen. It's a sound of war. It's not, you know, he doesn't say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. It's a war chant. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. When the devil heard that, he needed to act fast. The gospel is a confrontation. You can't teach the death of Jesus and not show, and not shout for victory. And not show some fight. You can't teach it and not show fight. The church of Jesus is full of power. The church of Jesus is full of power. The church of Jesus is full of power. You know, we are charismatic. What I say? What I say? We are very charismatic. What do I mean by charismatic? It means the gifts of the Holy Ghost are our weapons. What do I call them? They are what? Weapons. So you use tongues to fight. You use healing to fight. You cast out devils. You believe that?
Yes, sir.
You believe that?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let anybody talk you out of tongues. Tongues. There's just something about tongues. You know, in these days, some people overdo it. I'd rather overdo it. I'd rather have too much tongues than no tongues at all. How can you not speak in tongues at all in your life? Hey, but that joy, there's a way they, you know, I saw someone, they were carrying chairs. I'd rather allow them to carry chairs than not rejoice in the spirit at all. You can't build doctrine on excesses. You can't say, because it's excess, then we should not do it at all. No. You can't say that. You can't say that. You can't say that. We are charismatic. And we walk in the power of God. So I say, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. We will not just have teachings. We will have signs and wonders. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Quite a number of things happened yesterday night. We're going to have more tonight. One of the things you will thank God for camp meeting is signs and wonders. You will see it in your ministry more. Yeah. The numbers will increase. That's one of the things you will know. That's why you are. That's one of the ways you will know that you receive the camp meeting. Tangible power of the Holy Ghost. The right hand is no joke. He said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. That's what the right hand does. That's what the right hand does. I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. We are conscious of it. Play for me as a close. We are conscious of it. We are conscious of it. We walk in it. We are conscious of it. We walk in it. We are conscious of it. We walk in it. We are conscious of it. We walk in it. We are conscious of it. We walk in it. We walk in it. We walk in it. When I say go, it goes. When I say come, it comes. When I say grow, it grows. Hey, when I say grow, it grows. Oh, the power of the Holy Ghost is working. The power of God is working. Are you ready to pray about it? Are you ready to pray about it? We must be conscious. The gospel is confrontational. See the way Paul put it in Romans 1. Verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Can we verse 2 and 3 together? Verse 2 to 4 together. Which had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his son, Jesus, our Lord, who was made the seed of David, according to the flesh, declared to be the son of God with power, according to the spirit of holiness. He said, he is declared to be the son of God with power. He's saying that where Caesar is. That, you see this Jesus, he's the one with authority. Right where Caesar is. Right where the Roman government is. The gospel is daring. Hence why we now say in verse 16, I'm not ashamed. See, I'm not here to play. I'm not here to negotiate. We don't bargain with the devil. That's one soul. You have been on that one soul. It's been like a year now. And you're bargaining. No. I remember sometimes there was one disciple like that I was teaching some years ago. And I've said, I've shared the story before. And at first I was bargaining. You know, I'll go to his house. I'll help him wash. He would say that his chores are much. That's why sometimes he does not show up early. And later he would say, he had to, can he, then you don't have shoe. You don't have clothes. You don't have this. You don't have that. One day I just told him, I said, you are going to church with me. He said, will you force me? I said, I will not force you, but you are going. You get me? He said, now go wear your clothes. When I say I don't, I said, shut up, go and wear your clothes. There's no room for bargaining again. There's no room for bargaining. There's no room for, smell. No. I'm bold. To do God's will. I'm bold. To stand for Christ. I'm not a coward. I don't run and hide. See, when they are counting, I am in the numbers. Wherever I find myself, Jesus is Lord. See. The gospel is what? Confrontation. Jesus is either Lord of all or Lord at all. There is no middle ground. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Are you listening to me? It's confrontational. Jesus went to that place, Caesarea Philippi, where idolatry is massive, where idolatry speak, where it appears like darkness has taken hold of the place. And he says, from here, this is where we start. there's nothing to run and hide for. This is where we start. Let me give you something that is interesting. Do you know that Caesarea Philippi is where Peter got Cornelius saved? The first Gentile salvation. That same place. If you bend, you break. You must not bend. There is no bargaining with the devil. I heard that from Renard Bonnke. He wrote in his book, Evangelism by Fire. I read it 2006-7. We actually had it in our house in 2002. But I read it first in 2006-7. Evangelism by Fire. Black book with fire. And he said, there is no bargaining with the devil. Amen. What did I say? You know what? We'll take 5 souls. No, we'll take all the souls. Hallelujah. He will take everything. Everything belongs to Jesus. Everything. 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 The earth is his. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to Jesus. So who am I? Who am I to run behind? Who am I to run and hide? No. We are walking in victory. We are bolder. Oh, come on. We are bold. And getting bolder. We are bold. And getting bolder. We are bold. And getting bolder. We are courageous. We are courageous. To confront the walls of darkness. It must be your DNA. It must be part of your ministry. It must be things. It must be non-negotiables. Non-negotiables. It's also part of Jesus' ministry that when he appeared, demons were already bowing. He has not said anything. But they know that there's no bargaining. They know that this one, every time he comes around, he comes to take over everything. Immediately he showed up. He has not said anything. They ran to him. Said, our time has not come. And when you start reporting yourself, our time has not come. But what you can do, I know you don't want to see us around, so you can just cast us. Just where do you want to go? He said, in the pigs. Now you go. Here you go. He has not even said, let me cast out the devil. Nah, they are the ones reporting. Because the gospel confronts. Don't manage darkness. Don't try to bend. Don't try to say, I was just here, it all works out. I'll just see. Our own is just, let's just be preaching. You've been preaching there. Whenever you win one soul, another one will go. No more. The gospel is prevailing. The light of God is shining. And we will see it. Don't forget what I told you. In Genesis, where the darkness is, the light shines brighter. You don't run from it. Don't say the darkness is too thick. No, don't run from it. God's power is working. Where is Jesus? At the right hand, right? God's right hand in his church. He says the church is right there with him. I love the way Paul ends it in Ephesians 1:20. All right, close. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Let it start meaning something to you. And he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality. So there is no match to you. Amen. He says where you are is far above all principality. Far above all principality. Brethren, we are seated on high. Brethren, you hear me so? The power of God is working. You hear me so? See, you will go to places where you don't even understand their language and you have a massive harvest. You will meet the hopeless. And they will get comforted. You will meet the weak. And that's the last time they will ever be weak. You will meet the depressed. But they will never be depressed again. Why? The gospel is confrontational. Because we are on the right hand. Exalted. Far above principality. And power. And might. And dominion. And names. Not only in this world. But also in that which is to come. See, you must emulate Jesus. We can't run. We must emulate Jesus. Glorious House Church. We are confrontational. I told someone some years ago, I wanted to go preach somewhere. And as I was thinking about what I was going to preach, because God laid something in my heart, and I said, they stole me for this thing. And as I was thinking about it, the first thing that God told me is, you can't run and hide. You have to confront it. Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to pull down strongholds. If you cannot pull down strongholds, you are not in ministry. If every time you see stronghold, you pass another way, you are not in ministry. Everyone who must serve Jesus must have their heads up, chins up. You know him fully well. That he has given us, his church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. To bind and to loose. There are things to bind. And there are things to lose. We bind every setback. We bind retrogression. And we lose progress. We are progressing. We are progressing. We are progressing. Hey, you're not saying like you want it. We are progressing. You are progressing. We are moving forward. Upward and forward. Upward and forward. Upward and forward. Upward. Forward. Upward. Forward. Unending progress report. Upward. Forward. The church. Forward. That cell. Forward. That fellowship. Forward. Your prayer life. Forward. Your study. Forward. Your fellowship. Forward. Your ministry. Forward. 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 In the name of Jesus. Forward. 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 Walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. I love the way Jesus says. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Hey! 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 Oh, pray, 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 pray. Forward. Forward. Upon this rock. Upon this rock. Upon this rock. Upon this rock. Hey, we will show God's right hand. Upon this rock, I build my church. I build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. This is not how to pray. It is confrontational. It is confrontational. Oh, Sadara, toda biti Jesu. Oh, Sadara, toda biti Baba.
Osadara. Odabiti Jesus. Agara. 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 Tojagara. Osadara. Odabiti Jesus. Say only that spray. Osadara. All over Ibadan. The gospel is prevailing. All over Lagos. Abuja, Port Harcourt. Ogun, Ondo, Ekiti. Plateau, Jos. Bini, Delta, Bayelsa. Port Harcourt. Uyo. We confront every power of darkness. We pull down every stronghold. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. To preach deliverance. To set at liberty those that are bound. And you only want to be me. Oh, you run better than me. Oh, Sadara, oh, to the Jesus. Oh, Sadara, oh, to the beating Java. Oh, Sadara, oh, to the beating Jesus. Darkness, light is shining. No more darkness. We will never be defeated. And you know, Kanele Masina Kabaya, Lebo the younger Ketisan. Riba Botelede, Remonia Salabatana, Rebobo Sebelegrebotana, Ratisana Bakata, Lakaida Bakasosa, Lema Robobotum Berebelegrebosa, Lebatusa, Lema Ekerebosa de Banabalada, Rebobo Sombelegrebosa, Legerebobo Sobelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebel
that is your son. We have few minutes to pray. Oh yeah, yeah, we are on the mountain of the Lord. This is not me, dear. This is not me today. The things I could not do before. The places I could not go before. I am bold. The result you are not getting before. Aha! Ah! It's a new dawn. 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 What about Jesus? Few minutes more. Few minutes more. We confront every power of darkness. We say, no stronghold survives. No stronghold survives. No stronghold survives. Jesus is Lord. I'm not weak. I'm not weak. Thank you. one place. You will see an experience and walk on the right hand. The right hand is our reality. On Saturday is our reality. On Sunday is our reality. Every Thursday, every Monday and Tuesdays, as we gather in ourselves, and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays, the power of God is working. Holy Ghost. Olano sori o, owo dije iko. Olano sori o, owo dije iko. Agbara Olorun ko, agbara Olorun ko. Olano sori o, owo dije iko. Agbara Olorun ko. Adara Olorun po Olana so mi yo Dara Olorun po Dara Olorun po Olana so mi yo Adara Olorun po Adara Olorun po Glorious our church. We are there now. We are there now. We are there now. We are there now. We can say, we are there now. 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 Okiaba, Jacobre, Igorodu, Yaba, Akoka, Mushin, we put our strong notes. You don't know, we put our strong notes. No one got Jesu, no la. No one got Jesu. The quicker the world has stretched. Ah. Amen. Amen. What you want to now do now? Is that we start binding and losing. Exactly. We start with our words. And we start binding and losing. You know, you begin to say what you want to hear. Exactly. It's confrontational. I stand in the name of Jesus. And I say, the mountains are leveled. The valleys are exalted. The crooked roads are straight. The dry lands are watered. The church is growing. So you start binding and losing. Exactly. And ensure it is loud. Ensure it's audacious. Ensure there is no atom of bargain in there. Exactly. There's no atom of bargain in there. It's either 100 or 100. Exactly. It's either 100 or 100. Jesus wants it all. We are in camp meeting for serious business. I told you yesterday, I said, we are not here to admire what God is doing. We are not here to admire what God can do. We have seen it. Is that clear? We want it now. This is not a case of admiring it. This is not a case of looking at it and saying, oh, it's so nice. This is what God can do. No! Camp meeting is the genesis. On this rock, we start. On this rock, the growth starts. On this rock, the increase starts. Oh yeah, go ahead. Faith has a loud voice. Faith has a loud voice. Faith has a loud voice. We know what we want. We say in the name of Jesus that the harvest is plenty. We say in the name of Jesus that the word of God is going in leaps and bounds. In leaps and bounds, the word of God is growing. There's no stopping us. There's no stopping us. There's no stopping us. Just about 2 minutes more. Just about 2 minutes more. No dry grounds. No hard grounds. No hard ground. 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 In the name of Jesus. We are confrontational. We are confrontational. Badwa. You have what you say. None shall be called weak. The little one shall become a strong nation. When we become 10,000, signs and wonders, the tangible power of the Holy Ghost begins to follow our ministry.